It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See
terms and conditions. 18+. You're about to enter the world of Michael Zavala.
Okay, yes.
Now's your chance to turn back.
Hello.
You're listening to
MZ.
Michael Zavala.
MZ.
This is MZ Now.
MZ.
Eric, I'm back on the Valve train.
On the what?
The Valve train. HBO Max. The Valve.
The Valve. Okay. The Valve.
I thought you were saying Valve. Like,
yeah, I'm using Valves back in my normal day to day now.
It's gonna be great. Like Valve at the Valley, and I was like, what?
No, the Valve. I'm back in it.
So, what did you think?
I just finished episode 2 this morning. Now we're getting somewhere.
Episode 2?
Yeah. I stopped after episode 1 because episode 1 was so boring. They had to set up this whole story. So for those who don't know what we're talking about, The Vow is an HBO Max docuseries about Nexium, which is kind of like if you went to go buy Scientology on Wish, Nexium is what would come in the mail. And it's by a nerdy, like, you know, L. Ron Hubbard was at least kind of like a big guy, you know, had this, I don't know, energy about him. This is like a little pipsqueak nerdy dude that just wants to bang hot chicks, really. So he has this whole, he creates this whole thing, the Scientology type thing, as kind of a mask for what's really going on, which is he has this sex cult going on in the background.
Well, yeah, well, the forefront was a like a self-help. Like, be the best that you can be, you know, yeah. And then behind it all was a, what do you call it?
He was taking the best of the best, women wise, and then bringing them back into a secret group within the group.
Mm-hmm.
And he was branding them, which I just got to the part where they show the brand, which looks disgusting, by the way. My brand is going to be way better for my sex.
Oh, my God.
I already have a design. I already hired the best graphic designers. It's going to be fantastic.
You sound like Donald Trump.
Yeah. No brand has ever been better.
Are you going to hire Allison Mack to design it?
Yes. That's the whole reason why I'm even interested in this story is because of Allison Mack. I have had a crush on Allison Mack from, you know, I think it was Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves. She was the daughter in that.
Oh, she was?
Yeah.
Oh.
The third one. The one that just went straight to VHS, I think.
Yeah.
So she's the daughter in that. And then she was on Smallville. And I've always thought she's super hot, and for all these years I've been trying to get her on the show, and you know, all that. Little did I know she was tied up with Nexium this whole time while we were trying to get her on the show. And I always had this fantasy
When you say tied up,
yeah, she was getting branded. You can't just be free to move when you're getting branded.
I don't know if she got branded. I think she was the one doing the branding.
Yeah, she was. She was because the recruiter.
Yeah, because she was like. So what he did was he brainwashed.
Don't spoil it.
Well, okay.
I'm just
I mean, it's already in the news. I know what he's talking about, and I did watch the first episode of this,
and it was rough, right?
Oh,
like
it was
like, you just hurry up and get me to the sex slave part.
Pretty much.
We know all this other stuff. You don't have to tell us how the organization. They went and filed the LLC, and they did this, and they did that, and they filed their tax. I don't care about all that. Just get right to the sex life part. So,
yeah.
Episode 2, you start getting into that, and so Allison Mack was like the recruiter. She was bringing in girls for this cult, and I always had this fantasy of I would have her on the show one day, you know, on the phone or whatever, and I would do such a great job that she would fall in love with me. Little did I know that could have very well been true had I just had this crazy cult.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you good at picking out girls that will get branded for me? Yeah, absolutely. I'm doing that in my current job right now. perfect. You're hired.
You already have someone for that position too.
Yeah.
She goes by the name of Satan.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That's a recruiter right there.
That is a recruiter.
Is she your Jalene Maxwell?
Well, I don't like to associate with Jeffrey Epstein. So no, but she's my Allison Mack. I've always thought about creating a cult that's just so outlandish, just as a joke to see who would sign up for it. Like, you know, Alf is the, we get our teachings from Alf, the alien from Melmac, you know, or something like that.
Like,
and then
Jedi
at the same
Church.
Time, I can use that as a cover. Yeah. I can use that as a cover for my sex cult.
Well, like all cults, it's like if you dig
deep. But then
deep
I get
enough,
too deep into it.
Yeah, they're all sex cults. They just present it as something else most of the time.
I'm scared that I do this whole cult thing and then I start believing the teachings of Al from Melmac, and then I buy into it because it's so true. Wow. And then
I was gonna say,
next thing you know, I'm David Koresh.
I would probably say I would see you more like doing all of it. And then getting bored and wanting to leave, but now you can't because you have so many followers that you're trying to escape at this point. Just
yeah.
To get away from all of that.
And then they make a documentary about me escaping Melmac. Compound Melmac.
Trying to get stop eating cats.
Yeah. That's how we get our nourishment from cats. That's how we survive, because cats are survivors. See, I'm already starting to think about it and believe it already. Clark had a health scare this week. We don't know anything about it. He's been teasing it all week. I've been in the same room with Clark this week, and so now I'm starting to get worried about what I should be expecting to see on my results.
So
what to expect?
I think,
when expecting?
What were y'all doing?
So, like last Sunday after we got done recording, I had felt a little sick,
and you looked really bad too.
Well, that's just the nature of things lately. Oh. So I had like this digestive thing where it was heartburn, and I took a heartburn pill that my sister had. It was a prescription. It knocked the heartburn out, but I still had pressure in my chest.
Yeah.
And every time I sat down, it was hard for me to breathe. And I was like, what the hell is going on here? So
meanwhile,
I get on WebMD.
Last week we were all in the same room together while he is having all these issues. So if he had COVID, we're now exposed.
So, well, we'll get to that later.
Okay. Oh, there's more.
Well, you haven't even gotten to the scare part. So I started having these chest pains, and I go to work on Monday, and I have to pass a health screening. But when I get to work, I'm all nauseous and I have chest pains, and it's hard for me to breathe. I couldn't pass my health screening.
So wait a minute. To go to work, you have to. This is a daily thing for you guys.
Yes, every day. Oh, okay. I have to fill out questions that have I been near someone that's been exposed? Am I experiencing these symptoms, or have I been tested for COVID?
Do they take your temperature?
They can still, but they don't need to because of the screening process.
So the screening process, though, is on the honor system, though. So you go to work, and you got the form, and you're like, did you do this? And you just say no.
It pretty much is.
They're not taking your temperature, so they don't really know.
We can still take the temperature.
Okay. But if you're still just trying to work and you feel good knowing you may have COVID, you're going to just lie and it's not going to be a big deal and you're going to expose everybody.
Well, but if you feel well enough and you think you have COVID, then you may not have it. You might just be a hypochondriac.
I feel like this is not a Dr. Fauci approved screening method, but go ahead. Continue.
It probably isn't. But anyways, so I go there and I'm like, hey, listen, I'm feeling nauseous. My chest hurts. I'm having difficult breathing. And they're like, well, you can't work based on that. And I'm like, yeah. And so I had to schedule a doctor's appointment the next morning, and I went and I got a COVID screening. But I was telling him about my symptoms, and I was talking to the doctor, and the doctor looks at my chart and says, well, hey, weren't you in here last week for your shoulder? And I'm like, yeah, and that still hurts. For those that don't know, I've been having this shoulder elbow thing, which I really think is just tennis elbow that has just gotten out of whack. So I was talking to the doctor, and he's like, well, I took a shot in my shoulder to help with the pain, which only really helped for an hour that day. And they gave me a prescription, which was just basically a pill form of what the shot was that I'd take to subside the pain. And apparently, while I was doing this, I was eating a lot of spicy food and drinking some alcohol and taking these pills. And within a week, or about more like 5 days, I had eaten away some of the lining of my stomach, and that's why I was getting this acid reflux thing. and I actually developed a pocket of gas. That's what he said. That was kind of underneath, or
isn't that called a nebula?
That's a trapped wind.
It was. It was. It was kind of resting on my diaphragm, which was making it hard to breathe. So he just said, "Hey, don't take the pain medication anymore because it's what's screwing up your stomach. Stay off of spicy foods." And pretty much for a week now, I've been eating nothing but bananas, applesauce, toast, and rice.
And it feels great. Now you're back on that diet you forced yourself to go on for no reason. Now you're back on that.
It's nothing like the diet that I need because it's pretty much all carbs. That's all it is. So I'm getting no protein. I'm getting a bunch of carbs, and I'm really getting no nutrition.
Can you eat some nuts?
No, walnuts and stuff.
You can't eat that at all.
What about veggies?
No, it's only applesauce, bread.
Why?
Rice and toast because it's bland and it doesn't agitate the stomach. So the doctor also thinks that I might have a bacterial infection, but where he said you only come back for that if you feel like nothing is going right. Actually, now I feel much better. I was actually this close to going to the emergency room because I thought I was having a heart attack. If you get on WebMD and look at the symptoms I had. Idea. Oh, I know. It actually could have been one of 100 things, but I thought I was having a heart attack, and they actually gave me an EKG at my doctor's visit. So
you could do that on your watch now.
No.
You saved yourself $1,000 and...
Well, I have insurance, so it's okay.
Oh, okay. Let's brag. I'm rich.
No. If you saw my checking account right now and saw the negative $200 in it, you would know better. So I got an EKG. I got a COVID test. My heart looks fine. I tested negative for COVID. Basically, I just destroyed the lining of my stomach, and that's what was causing my sweats, my my inability to breathe, and my chest pain. So now I'm feeling much better, and so that's
what you're saying is we need to bust out the hot sauce wheel next week.
Ooh, good idea.
Oh my God, no! Like
let's test out this new stomach lining you have.
I think if we would have done the hot sauce challenge after I got those shots and was taking the pills, like
you would have died.
I would have probably died.
That's awesome. That would have been great for ratings.
Well, you telling us this story is, I can see why now the numbers are going up in different states and even in El Paso, Texas, because people don't listen when they're not feeling well. Do not go out.
Right.
Stay home. But you went to work to fill out a questionnaire. Right. Then you continued to go to the studio, even not feeling horrible.
No. I had already passed my COVID test.
He's talking about originally when you weren't feeling good last week when you came to the studio and affected all of us with
the stomach lining virus, the bacteria infection.
Yeah, I know somebody that thought it was just allergies, and that's how it starts. When you say, "Oh, it's just my allergies," no, it's COVID.
Yeah,
yeah, but stay heartburn is not one of the symptoms of COVID.
Well, this is white people privilege, Eric. This is just what it is. I don't feel good. I've got COVID. I'm going to work. You know what I mean? This is what they talk about.
Yeah, even just looking like shit, it's a symptom.
Right, you should stay home all the time.
Oh, damn it.
No, so, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. I'm glad you're feeling better, Clark. But, you know, I the other day was feeling really just kind of down and, you know, with politics and everyone's at each other's throat. The world's on fire. And I just, you know, it was such a nice day outside. I decided to pop open a can of Red Bull and throw some music on and hop on a scooter and just kind of ride my cares away. And I recorded this all. Yeah. And I have it all on tape, and I just wanted to play that for you. I think this is something America really needs right now. So anyway,
okay.
I ended up breaking my other leg, and we'll be right back.
You still match now.
Wait, I still.
Oh, you have questions?
I was trying to get in and out of that. It's like you're driving a moped. Yeah. You're driving a moped. Then two is whenever you fell down, it's not like you're like listening to on a Walkman.
I was. Yes,
like your headphones.
My headphones fell out.
Yeah, you. The old school headphone, like the. Yeah,
I was listening to a cassette. Dust off my old Sony Walkman, put in some D batteries.
Jesus.
Golly.
I just hopped on my little scooter and just kind of rode around for 30 seconds until I broke my other leg. All right, we'll be right back with Jonathan Del Arco right after this.
MZ Now.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
MZ Now.
Call 1-888-MZ Live. Did the number 5. Call 1-888-MZ Live. Did the number 5.
Mike Ryder, a shadowy flight into the dangerous world of a man who does not exist. Michael Zavala, a young loner on a crusade to champion the cause of the.
Yeah, I'm not reading this. I'm not reading it. Of all the things he's asked me to read over the years, this is terrible. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm not reading this.
Michael Zavala, MZ Now. This is MZ Now.
Divorce is with us, baby.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MZNow.
Already.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, what's up? This is Ethan Ramirez, and you're listening to Michael Zavala.
This is MZ Now.
Hey, Jonathan, how are you doing?
Hey, man, how's it going?
Good. How's what are you doing during this quarantine to keep busy?
If you follow me on Instagram, you will realize I've become an addict at baking sourdough bread and delivering it to friends. Don't ask why. It's just become a really good time suck.
Now, I know you're big into like working out and everything. Because of the quarantine, are you still going strong, or are you using that as an excuse not to work out?
Well, I love working out. I mean, I walk my dogs about 3 or 4 miles a day, no matter what. That's kind of extra on top of the workout. But I've been doing yoga lately. There's actually a great yoga class. I think she's from Texas. It's called Yoga with Adrienne.
She has
Yeah, she's amazing. And so I've been doing her class. It's been really keeping me sane. So.
You're doing better than I am. I'm not doing anything. I'm just making every excuse I can to not move. I haven't moved in the past 6 weeks, and it's been great. I've been watching Netflix. It's fantastic.
Oh, my God. You're like a big cat.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Cat sitting on the sofa, right.
So were you a Star Trek fan before getting the Hugh role in Next Gen?
I was. I was an original series fan. I grew up watching reruns of it. I learned English watching Star Trek and other TV shows. So, yeah, I was hardcore into it. I would stay up really late and fall asleep to it because it was on super late at night in New York where I was growing up. And then, I tested for the role of Wesley. So the Star Trek Next Gen was kind of in my world, but I never really had watched it until I did it. Retroactively, of course, I became a big Next Gen fan.
You as Wesley, I think, could have changed the whole thing. But then you also probably wouldn't have been asked to do Picard. So it kind of worked out, right?
That's true. Yeah, it worked out great, actually.
So Next Gen goes off the air. They do a few movies. You know, everyone thinks they're done with the roles. Brent Spiner especially said, hey, I'm never going to play Data again. You know, that's who wants an aging android? You know, all this stuff. And then comes Picard. When you got the call about returning as Hugh, what was your first reaction?
Disbelief. I mean, it was actually, it wasn't a call. It was actually a dinner at the Hollywood Bowl with one of the writer producers of the show, James Duff, who's also from Texas, ironically. And James pitched it to me and to Jerry Ryan. So it was both of us that were sort of presented with a, would you do it? And I said, of course I would. I mean, I don't know if that's ever going to happen, but, you know, this was before Patrick had even signed on. So it was really early on in the conversation. And it didn't seem real until I was actually on set, to be honest.
Now, you get the chance to reprise a role you haven't played since, you know, the early 90s. And you get to work with Patrick Stewart again, being the Star Trek.
I know
you got to do voices and stuff for some of these games. Now you're on screen again. And then you're looking through the scripts. And then a couple episodes later, you're dead. Are you like, are you kidding me? You couldn't have killed off anybody. Look at all these new actors that nobody cares about yet. You know?
Kill someone else.
Right.
Yeah, I was pretty disappointed, to be honest. I came to embrace it and try to do the best work that I could do. But I was definitely, I would lie to you if I was saying I was fine getting killed off. I didn't want to be killed off. I had no intention of having that happen to me. But they needed, I think, that story point to propel the rest of the season. So I guess someone had to die, and it was my day.
Well, I could have picked about five other people that could have died, you know, other than you. If I was the writer on there, I would have let you live, just so you know.
Oh, makes sense. I appreciate that. You know, it is Star Trek. No one ever really dies.
But that's where I was getting at. I mean, like, you know, Thanos snapped half the world, you know, away, and then the next movie, everyone's back and they beat him up. So do you think Hugh can come back at some point? Do you think you have hope that Hugh might come back at a later date?
I mean, you know, I should give up hope. I don't see it in the cards. I've not been talked to about it. I don't think the writers are, that's where they're at right now. But you never know down the line. There's so many incarnations of Star Trek, so many different kinds of shows that happen, and you never know. So I didn't think I'd come back now, and here I am. Right?
It could be a magical moment. I could be a writer on Star Trek at some point, and we're at having dinner at Chili's, and I say, hey, by the way, we want to bring back Hugh. You know, it could be a magical, maybe not as fantastic as the Hollywood Bowl conversation, but, you know, it'll be close. I could
feel that.
Yeah, I think that could happen. So did they keep it a secret, your death a secret, until, you know, the day you were filming?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they did. Oh, wow. Yeah. So that makes it even worse.
Absolutely. No. Yeah, no one was allowed to talk about it. And I didn't even know. I mean, the cast members knew before we shot it because we all got scripts.
Right.
But, post that, you know, we weren't allowed to talk about it at all to anybody. So, you know, all my friends and all the people that follow me, that watched my shows, had no idea, you know, because the rollout was so big for the show and for my character. And I, you know, got such equal treatment to all the series regulars that I don't think anyone really saw that coming.
Yeah.
They'd invested so much in the character, you know? I guess that's the biggest impact, right? Like when Jon Snow died, everyone was shocked.
Right. So, That's true. So a lot of people are saying, you know, it's sad that your character died before, you know, reuniting with Geordi. Were you a little disappointed you didn't get to work with LeVar Burton again, seeing how your guys' characters were so close?
Very disappointed. I mean, I was surprised, and I had asked them, you know, why don't I ask about Jordy? Like, I don't understand why, like, Jordy's not being addressed in any way. Well, maybe they had plans for using him later on. They didn't want to muddy up the storytelling. I have no idea. But yeah, I was definitely bummed. I was bummed I didn't have a scene with Jerry. I was bummed I didn't have a scene with Whoopi or with, you know, really with any of, you know, Beverly, you know, all the characters that the character initially knew well. I was super bummed that we never got to that.
Well, you're in luck because I happen to be a writer on Reading Rainbow, the online edition, and we're writing you in for a character with LeVar Burton. So it'll be great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
So I go to a Star Trek con every year. I started going mostly kind of as a joke years ago. And then I'm like, I really enjoy this. This is a lot of fun. And so I go every year. But I don't remember seeing you at any of these cons. Do you kind of stay away from the cons?
Oh, no. I do them all the time.
You do? Okay.
Actually.
Perfect. Well,
yeah.
I must have just missed you.
I don't do all of them. You know, they've changed over the years. They've gotten bigger and more commercial. You know, it's more like a autograph sort of fair. And I don't really like that part of it so much. I like the more traditional conventions where you actually get to meet the fans.
Yeah.
Go up and talk and do the whole thing. But yeah, no, they're a big part of my life. Hopefully will continue to be. I know some have been canceled this year already.
Right.
I'm super bummed about it. I don't know what the format's going to look like going forward because, you know, they're pretty crowded experiences.
Yeah.
You know? So, it's going to be interesting to see how that all shakes out for the Trek world and fandom in general.
Isn't it great, though, like getting a role on Star Trek is really like winning the golden ticket because, I mean, you could be a background actor and you can do these conventions until you die. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you could.
It's really great. Like I tell any friends of mine who are actors, I'm like, if you get Star Trek, if you get an offer for Star Trek, take it because you can milk that for the rest of your life. It's really great.
Totally. Totally. It is an absolute gold mine in every respect.
Yeah.
In terms of conventions, in terms of meeting people, travel, expanding your world, you know, you're definitely going to experience that if you're on Star Trek.
Now let's talk about your podcast, Hollywood Caucus.
Yeah.
It's great, by the way.
Thanks.
What prompted you to start it?
Well, Tara and I and Kyle Fritz, who's our manager and producer and my husband, you know, Tara and I have a fun banter as friends. We worked together, a short film that I did and I, you know, we just tend to go off the rails a little bit when we're together. And he thought that would be a really fun sort of setup. And then I said, well, I think it'd be fun to have a show where we interview people in the industry.
Yeah.
And hopefully, I mean, the goal is to get people from every aspect of the sort of political spectrum. But I don't know. Republicans were a little scared to come on my show. I think I'd love to have them on and talk about the things that are going on right now. But, you know, actors get told to shut up a lot. You know, like we get told to just shut up and act or shut up and sing or, if you're a ball player, shut up and play ball. And I feel like, you know, we're voters like anyone else. We have influence. And this is a good place for people to come and share about their lives and their interests. And it's not just politics. It's people's causes and other things that drive their lives.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's an encouraging environment for people to come in and talk about how they're contributing to the world. So I'm loving doing it, especially right now. In quarantine, one thing that kept me sort of sane with the sourdough is the podcast.
Yeah. You know, the greatest thing about this is it forces creatives to be a little bit more creative during this time, right? You got to kind of think outside the box and what can I do to push more content out, things like that. So if people wanted to follow you on social media, want you to make this sourdough and all this stuff, what's the best place to follow you at?
Instagram and Twitter is at Jonathan Arco, and I'm also on Cameo with some people. A lot of people have been requesting cameos lately because they're bored and or depressed.
Yeah.
And want a little bit of, you know, connection with actors. So I've been pretty busy doing those. A lot of people connecting through Cameo, Twitter and Instagram. Yeah. I love, they're basically virtual Star Trek conventions, you know.
They really are. That's so awesome. So let me ask you this. What shows are you watching in quarantine? What shows are keeping you busy other than your walking the dog and your yoga and your sourdough? Right. What else?
I just finished Ozark, which is
it's great.
Unbelievably good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just loved Ozark. rewatched and been watching the finale, season finale of Schitt's Creek, which is, I guess, like a comedy version of Ozark.
Yeah. What a great description. It's, that's true.
Yeah, it's very funny show. I guess I'm into seeing people get displaced and move to rural areas or something. I've been watching View, which is a Netflix show about a guy who's obsessed with every woman he meets, and he's a murderer. It's really weird, interesting. And yeah, just whatever's popping, you know, on a daily basis. I try to stay away from the news as much as I can.
Yeah.
Because it just completely stresses me out. But yeah, all that.
Hey, Jonathan. So I have a question. So if you could get on any series that's currently airing right now on television or streaming, what series would you love to get a chance to act on?
I would love to be on Ozark.
Yeah.
Ozark.
That show. And I love the, like, I love how gritty the whole world is and how gritty the work is. Everyone is very deep and flawed, and, you know, the writing is phenomenal. So that'd be a great show. I would say Schitt's Creek too, but that's gone now. So missed my chance. But a comedy would be fun. I'm trying to think of a comedy. There really isn't a comedy I'm obsessing over right now, but it would be fun to do a comedy as well. You know, get away from the crying and getting murdered. Right. Stay away from the body bag.
You've always been open, very open about your sexual orientation, but I guess going back into the early days of breaking into the business, like the early 80s and early 90s, were you always as open, or did you kind of feel like being openly gay kind of hindered your ability being casted?
Yeah, it actually did hurt my ability to be cast. I was told as much by casting directors, you know, that the fact that they knew I was gay or they thought I was gay, and I would say, well, I'm not, but, you know, I was. Early on, there wasn't like, it was tricky because there really weren't a ton of gay roles. And, you know, if you came out, you would be, and the gay roles tended to be sort of campy older men, you know, and there weren't a lot at the time, I was in my 20s, there weren't a lot of young leading men type of gay characters or an openness to hire a gay actor to play a straight part. So it was a little nuclear at the time. And then as I got a little bit older, I started not caring as much and living my own life. And, you know, into my 30s, I think the profile of television really started to change. People were telling much more enticing stories. You know, Nip Tuck, certainly, playing that transgender character in the 90s, in 99, in the early 2000s. That was groundbreaking. And, you know, I think it's just rolled on from there. Will and Grace opened the door to gay characters being household names, and so I think it spooled out organically for me the way it did for the industry. You know?
I know you playing the Hugh character. I was like, I had like, there's no drop of anything of gayness. I know there was one scene between you and Elnor. They're kind of hinting towards something, but I know there's nothing for sure to say that.
Well, I made a choice to love him. My choice.
Yeah.
It wasn't in the script, but yeah. You caught it.
Yeah. So I was like, is there something? Is there not? Are we supposed
to know? It was tricky because we didn't have many scenes together and we had to get to a very emotional moment very quickly. And I had to die basically in his arms. And I wanted something more powerful than just like, hey, there's a guy that's been hanging out with you for a few days. Let me die in his arms. You know, I wanted it. I wanted some investment for myself. And the idea that there were scenes that maybe you never saw that happened between the two of them. So I definitely wanted to kind of float that out there. So I just used myself, you know, and how I would respond to someone like that. And the idea of being a droid your whole life and never loving someone. And then maybe right before you die, you do. It's kind of a moving thing, you know?
So playing roles like Dr. Morales, who was openly gay, and then also Sophia Lopez, who is a transgendered woman, do you feel like it's easier to prepare for those roles since you kind of have like real life experience being in the, you know, community?
I mean, no, they're not any different. I would say they're only different in that it offers you an opportunity to use more of yourself. You know, because you're pulling from your own life. So that's good. That's always good as an actor if you can find yourself in a part. So in that way, but sometimes that's harder too because you feel a little exposed, right? Because you're playing who you are. So that can be hard as well. With Sophia, I didn't have any real experience in the trans world. You know, the LGBT community at the time was not as inclusive as it is now. I feel like the transgender community has become a much deeper part of the LGBT community. Right. And, you know, back in the 90s, there's still some isolation of trans people. But definitely back then there was. So I didn't know a ton of transgender people. And I basically molded the character after my own mother and my sisters.
That's interesting.
Kind of the route I went. A realistic, you know, what are the women that I know, you know?
Right. Well, the reason why I ask is I also, I'm a aspiring actor myself, and I'm gay. I did a scene recently in class where I did Chad from American Horror Story season 1, who's played by Zachary Quinto, who also is played Spock in Star Trek. So I was doing this scene, and it really didn't I guess like him being gay. I was playing it as myself. So but I was told to kind of, you know, boost up the gayness or the flamboyancy. Have you ever been told that, like, try and audition for, like, an openly gay role? Or?
Well, it's funny. They write it, they especially in comedies, they write the sort of camp version of what being gay is. And I can be campy on any given day, you know, after a few cocktails. but that's not, like, my neutral position as a person. You know, I don't, you know, I'm not cracking jokes and, you know, flitting about all the time. So they'll tell you that they'll write a character that's very stereotypical, and they'll say, we don't want you to play gay. And you go, really? Because it's on the page, right?
Right.
So then you go in and you try to, like, not play gay, and you try to sort of be like yourself. And then inevitably you don't get the job, and then you watch whoever got it played it so funny and so stereotypically gay, and you know, they got the role. So, you know, I don't trust or believe that anymore. I think they really do want it. They just don't want you to think they want it, you know?
Right, exactly. Thank you so much for being so open regarding your
thanks, guys.
Education.
Yeah, no, it's been a pleasure, man. I hope we get to see you in real life one day if we all survive this mess, maybe at a Star Trek con. But yeah, it's been a huge pleasure for us. It's an honor to talk to you.
All right. Have a good morning.
You bye, too, everybody. Sir. Thank you.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.
Just got word that they moved. I didn't just, it's not like they sent it to me, they sent it to everybody, but that they moved the already moved Star Trek con to next year. So
why not?
It was supposed to be in December.
Have the one that they were gonna have next year anyway.
Technically, they canceled it, right? And then the one they're having next year. So they also, 2020 marks the end of Creation, who puts on the convention. It marks the end of their license with CBS. So that's now they can't even call it the Star Trek convention anymore. Now it's the 55-year mission, a Star Trek themed convention. But the good news is it's back at the Rio. So I can go eat my buffet, go to the convention, get tired, want to take a nap, go upstairs.
Never leave the hotel.
Yeah, you never have to leave. So we have Julie on the phone. I've been hearing all these people dropping like flies, you know, because of COVID. And I've been concerned because a lot of them have been kind of more trashy white people like Clark and like going to work and they don't feel well and things like that. And so I was thinking the first person coming to mind is like, oh my gosh, I hope Julie's doing okay because she's also filming Cheaters at the moment and they're out with other trashy white people that possibly have COVID. Hey, Julie, we're just doing a wellness check.
No. First of all, we know you don't give a about anybody's wellness. Why on earth you're pretending is beyond.
I lost money knowing that you are still alive at this point. How much did I owe you, Clark?
I think $12.50.
$12.50 I lost to Clark. How much do I owe you, Eric?
$10,000.
$10,000. Because my thought was at the beginning of this whole pandemic, you were going to be the first to go. But here you are. You're like a cockroach.
Thanks. So was there a question in that, or how much money?
No, I just
ask how much money you owe me.
Well, I didn't make a bet with you. I assumed you were going to be gone, but you're a survivor.
Because I don't believe in the sickness, man.
Right, you're not down with the sickness, as they say.
It's a thought process.
Right.
Oh my God, COVID. Ooh.
Right. Well, guess what? Viruses are a thought process.
Whatever. I don't know. You know, I'm not smart enough to figure all that out. But right. At the end of the day, I haven't been sick since October of 2007.
And so, what do you credit that to?
And what was that sickness?
Actually, if you really want to go into it, my mom was an herbalist. And no, or
oh, like, that explains so much. Yeah. Holistic medicine.
No, for real though, she didn't believe in getting like flu shots and crap. And so through time, the flu shots, like people would get it and it put something in their blood to where when people cough around other people, all of a sudden they get sick.
Right.
That's the only thing I can think of.
You're really like the anti Dr. Fauci. Like they should have you come up. The other thing I lost money on was the last time you were on the show during this whole pandemic. I got a nudie video from you, and I was pleasantly surprised because
thanks for sending that to me, by the way.
Oh, I didn't send it to anybody. When we're back in studio next week, I'll put it up on the screens.
Oh my!
Because a woman of your age looking it was better looking than I thought. And I lost money on that too. That's why I owe Eric so much, because 5,000 was for the survival. 5,000 was for the looking way better than I thought you would.
Hold on. You lost all this money because you guys thought I was going to be dead, and then there's some naked chick, and it happened to actually be me.
No. The other 5,000 was because I didn't think you were going to look as good as you did, given your advanced age and holistic medicine routines.
Hold on. Wait. So let me get this right. And I completely forgot about that. You is it the one with me and Jaime?
Yeah.
Oh.
I put it on my OnlyFans if you want to remember what it was like.
No.
Had to pay for it.
Yeah. I'll give you a discount code so it's not full price.
If you're gonna go to the studio and do that and show it, then I need to be invited next week because I want to sit there and watch it firsthand and remind myself.
You're 100% invited as long as you wear a hazmat suit.
Okay, I got one.
All right. I was pleasantly surprised. I was not expecting things to be preserved as well as they were when I saw this video.
Dude, I'm like 28. Of course, you know.
Well, props to you.
Thank you. I cannot believe you still remembered that.
Remembered? I watch it every morning. The alarm goes off. And the music starts playing, right? It's like the beginning of some movie. I don't know. Smash Mouth by All Star starts playing. And then I get up out of bed. I hit the alarm. I get up out of bed. I'm brushing my teeth. Alexa, play the Julie video. And she puts it on the screen for me and I watch it. And then, you know, I get dressed. I'm doing my workouts. And then I leave for the day. I go out to my neighbor. I say, howdy, neighbor. In case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Are you going out all the time, or are you just going to work and then going back home?
Yeah, I mean, other than the grocery store or the gas station, I mean, where am I going to go? I don't have any time.
Right. Do you do you wear masks when you do go out, or no?
Well, you have to. I thought it was mandatory. Store says, gotta wear a mask or you can't come in.
And who do I have to talk to get this, get a credit on cheaters? What do I have to do?
What do you want the credit for?
Anything. Idea guy, voice guy, cheater. I can go cheat on somebody. That's fine. You can catch me in the act.
You would actually be in a relationship.
Right.
And it's reality TV. I can fake it.
Right.
And I think
I would bring in, I would cast Lady G as the person that I was supposed to be in the long term with. That would catch me with a cis woman. And then watch the whole thing unfold. And we do this in front of American Airlines Center.
I think it'd be better if you flip those.
But no, but that's the other thing. It's like most people that get caught cheating with their cis female girlfriend or whatever,
are usually with a trans. So I'm flipping that script.
You say flipping the script. I mean, there is no script. Like, what I don't understand, like, is this a real...
Yeah, it's a real... It's 100% real. It's 100% real.
You should call... So I think you should...
No, let me call Gomez. We'll do the hit right now. What do y'all call it? Not a hit. Like in Sopranos. What do you call a bust? We'll do the bust right now. I'm leaking information. I'm going to be in front of the Quiznos at 121 Main Street. And I've already tipped off Detective Gomez. I left him a series of clues.
Why do you not have a television full of ideas?
I do. We have. I have a ton of ideas.
Oh my God. Zavala, but what am I?
Give me a credit. I want to put a credit on my IMDb. I want to have my first credit on IMDb as working on Cheaters.
No, you know what? Then
you want to be a cameraman?
Jackass. Jack, and then whatever your name is.
Jackass number one. I can play that. You want me to be a background guy? I can do whatever you want me to do. I'll do whatever you want me to do, Julie.
You know what? Really?
What do I have to do? What do I have to do, Harvey Weinstein?
I will bend over, let you shave my asshole, and then you can lick. How about that?
I'm not really familiar with that area. I'll move that over to Eric Starr. That's his area of, what do you call it?
No,
profession.
Not women's.
Expertise. It's the same thing.
Awesome. Yeah. I think that's what they call it.
Is Spider, is he there?
Spider actually left.
I'm gonna pass Julia over to Allison Mack.
Yeah, actually Spider got up and left. And he's at his house, by the way.
Yeah.
He said, enough of this. Or actually, I think I sent him the video. What happened was I sent him the video and he went to get better reception elsewhere. That's not a camera.
Oh my God.
Hey, well then thank you for the muffins. You pretty much made my day. I'm glad
Well, you're welcome. You look great. And I'm not just saying that to be facetious.
The only thing is I need a boob job bad. So... maybe we could do like a thing where everybody donate a penny for Julie to get a boob job, and then I'll run around naked all day long.
Can I pay the dollar to not see that?
No, I think you can make some pretty good money. You could at least make $20, at least, for the boob job.
Yeah, they got this thing called a chatterbait or something.
I don't think that's a thing anymore. I think it's OnlyFans now.
Man, I need to start watching porn again because I forgot how to do all that.
Well, Julie, it's good to hear from you. We haven't checked in on you in a while, and yeah, I'm glad you're still alive. I'm glad you're still kicking it. You look great. Great's a strong word. You look good, and we hope to see you back in the studio at some point.
Seriously, though, are you really going back to your place? Because I would love to go. I mean, that place is beautiful. That building is so nice.
Oh well, I mean, we're going to be back in next week, but we're flip flopping. We're halfway in, halfway out.
There is no joke. I actually have a hazmat suit that we got for Peter, and he doesn't wear it. And I will bring that.
You're welcome to come in if you wear that hazmat suit.
You got it, man. Like I could even bring that because man. But that remind me earlier. That way, I'm not late.
Yeah, I will. I'll let you know. And then next week is our Halloween show. So that's about as scary as you can get, having Julie possibly infected with COVID in studio with a hazmat suit on. I think that's great. It's like Fear Factor.
I love you, dude. Yeah, no, for real. Call me earlier. I'll be up there. I'll wear my hazmat. Right.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Okay, we'll talk to you later. And then we'll hash out my Cheaters deal. I'll have my agent there.
Can I wear my strap on underneath it? Or
I'm gonna have to defer you to Eric. That's more in his expertise.
Yeah. Again, it's a woman, so. I'm gonna throw it over to Spider.
Passed around. It'll work,
she hadn't been passed around this much since college. All right, Julie. I appreciate you calling in.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye bye. All right. How do we recover from that?
You don't.
Oh, Eric had a problem with his Apple Watch. So you did get your Apple Watch in.
I did get it in.
And now you got a problem with it. And now you want to return it.
So I ordered it in through the Apple Store, through on my phone, you know, the online store, whatever.
The Apple Store?
Yeah, the Apple Store, but like online.
Yeah.
And so it took a while, like I want to say like 2-3 weeks, I think it was, to get here.
About 3 weeks, yeah.
Yeah. So I finally got it. It was a Series 6.
And this is your first Apple Watch. You haven't owned one before, correct?
Yeah. No, it's the first one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I got it. I had it for maybe like, I want to say a couple of days already, like maybe like 5 days or something like that. And I did try the EKG thing. It said everything was fine. I tried the oxygen thing.
Yeah, Eric said his watch told him he was in perfect health.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was my best.
So we know that's a lie.
In 20 years.
Yeah. They said his chances of defeating COVID are the same as Donald Trump. He can beat it in 3 days. It's great. He's as healthy as a 75-year-old
overnight.
Man.
That's what he did.
He can go right back to work.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. So I was using it, but I never used that EKG or oxygen thing again. So I'm like,
it's always monitoring you. Like, it'll just turn on its own and let you know if there's an issue.
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like, and then I did some research on it. It's like, it's not really supposed to be used for medical, like a diagnosis or anything like that.
Yeah. It's just informational purposes.
Yeah, informational purposes. So really, I'm like, well, really, I don't need all that. So I was like, and plus, you know how the I was thinking about they're going to come out with a whole new Apple Watch later on, which is
going to trade yours in, and
yeah, which is going to include that, like a lower version, which is going to include the EKG and the oxygen later on, probably next year. And they're going to do a cheaper version of that that it's going to be already included. So I was like, well, I'll wait for that. I'll trade the one I have in now and get that one. Because I went in and I traded my Series 6 for the SE. So.
Oh, you did already trade it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went to the store.
And what is the SE? What's the difference between the SE and the real one?
Basically, the only difference is that it doesn't have the EKG. It has the EKG, but it doesn't have it where you can manually do it.
It just does it on the background.
Yeah, it is in the background on a timer.
Okay.
Automatically. So you're still getting it, but it's not, oh, I want to check it right now.
Now, here's one of the coolest features that we got to test out. Let me do this. I'm going to turn my mic off, and I'm actually going to send walkie-talkie Eric with my watch. This is incredible. I'm going to send you a secret message that only you can hear.
Okay.
Can you believe how pathetic Clark is? I mean, oh my gosh. I think Julie has a better life than him. Can you believe it?
I can believe it. I mean, she was talking about sex toys and everything. I'm sure he was like clueless about anything like that.
So anyway, isn't that great? It's almost real time. I didn't realize it was that quick.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
And we've got the delay, you know, of Zoom as well. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's pretty close. Do you have that with your watch, Clark? Can you walkie-talkie?
Yeah, I can.
Oh, well, we need to add you to our friends list.
Yeah, well, I don't have
you gave me my top eight.
Awesome.
My top eight on my watch. So you've already traded in. When are they sending your new watch? So you waited almost a month for this, and mm-hmm. now you're getting another one.
No, actually, I was able to go in the store. I went
to the store?
Yeah.
So they're open again?
It was funny. It was hilarious. Because So I needed to check first, right? So I called the customer service line at Apple, and, you know, I'm already thinking like, okay, I'm gonna get the best customer service. You know, they're gonna answer the phone like I'm just, you know, the king of whatever, right? Like, I'm gonna get this stellar customer service.
Yeah.
So I call. So it rings maybe like, no, they're like, well, we're gonna contact you. We're gonna transfer you to somebody, right? So I said, okay. So then it rings like once and then it goes like silent. And I'm like, hello? And I wish I would have recorded it. It was hilarious. So then I don't hear anything, but I look at my phone and it's still like the timer's still running and everything. Like the call's still on, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, hello? And then I started hearing all this rustling noise, like, and I'm like, what? Like somebody's fumbling with like the phone or something.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
hello? What store is this, by the way?
It wasn't a store. It was just customer service. Like, just
I see.
Apple customer service.
They're all working from home right now. So they probably dropped the phone. You know, the dog ran off with the phone and they had to chase it.
something. And then so I stay on. I was in a hangout, and I was like, no, I'm going to stay on for this. I want to see who this is that's doing all this mess.
So it's Mark.
Right?
Oh, my God. I didn't know you were still there.
So I'm staying on, and I hear more rustling. I'm like, I'm gonna wait until they're done rustling. Maybe they have their phone in their pocket and they're doing something. I don't know what. Yeah. The hell. So finally, I finally hear it. Like I hear the rustling stop, but then I hear like some typing and stuff. And then I'm like, "Hello?" And then she's all like, "Hi, thank you for calling Apple."
Like nothing happened.
It was hilarious.
And then she sent your watch over to an Apple store, and you were able to just go in and swap it out.
What she did was, I said, well, I told her my situation, and I was like, oh, I ordered it. I don't want to have to return it, you know, by mail or by FedEx or whatever, and then have to wait more weeks to get the one that I want. And then she, I understand that. So, but, and then I told her, I said, well, can I go switch it in the store? Like, if I were to take it physically to the store, would they be able to give me the one that I want that same day?
Yeah.
And then she goes, oh, that's a good idea. She goes, let me see.
Let me ask.
So I'm thinking like, okay. Yeah, she goes, well, do you mind if I put you on a brief hold for 2 to 3 minutes? And I said, okay.
Then she puts the phone back in her pocket again.
She has to ask her managers. So then she comes back, and then she goes, okay. She's like, well, did you check online to see if they have it in stock? And I said, no, so I'm calling you to see if I can even do that. And second, if you can check to see if they have it in stock. And then she goes, oh, hold on. And then she goes and like checks. And then she goes, okay. She goes, well, I was told that we can look it up online. Did you look it up online? And I said, no, that's why I'm calling you to see, like,
that's your whole job.
Yeah. Can I do that? If I can, tell me how to do it. And she goes,
right.
Oh, well, this is my first time doing this. So we're going to learn together. So we're walking through it together.
You're like, why do I have to learn this?
Right. And then by the end of it, we found out they do have it in stock. I know how to check it now online and everything.
Did you go to the Galleria?
Yeah. So you have to schedule an appointment. My
cousin works at that store.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you have to schedule an appointment ahead of time. You do a one-on-one retail session with the Apple employee. But you have to do it the day before, because you try to do it the day of, all of the times are booked, and they will not let you. Like, let's say if you finish what you're doing early, and you're like, oh, I'm gonna send a pass by. Maybe they're not so busy. I'm gonna pass by there and see. Maybe they can fit me in. Right?
They won't let you in.
No. You have to go at that time that you're supposed to be there.
That's good to know, because I'm not gonna get this new iPhone 12. Mm-hmm. It's cool that it's got 5G and all but
mine has 5G.
I want
right now.
Touch ID. Well, you don't really. This phone doesn't support it, and the network's not really 5G. It's really a farce.
I'm not doing all that. It's too much.
But I was thinking about upgrading this year because I still have the 10, but I really want Touch ID back in the phone, especially because now we got to wear masks and stuff.
Exactly.
Touch ID is very useful right now. And so it's been rumored that it's coming back. We just don't know when. I'm just going to hold out until my phone works just fine. I do need a new battery, though, because it didn't hold charge.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked at the price of what it would cost to swap out the battery, and it's $69. So I'm like, nice.
That's not bad at all. Yeah.
Nice. So now that I know the stores are open, I can go and do that.
Yeah, just schedule in advance. But this is just the last thing. So at the end of the call, she was all like, thank you. She goes, I learned something new today.
You're like, thank you. Well, I'll be taking that $14 an hour you're getting paid right now since I did all this for you, basically.
Exactly.
Did you watch the new episode of Discovery?
I did.
Episode 1? Mm-hmm. Did you like it? 1 to 10.
1 to 10. I mean, I don't know what we're basing it off of or anything.
A scale of 1 to 10?
I would say, I don't know what in your mind what you're kind of like gonna say.
Oh, but did you like it? Was it entertaining? Or
I would say I would give it an 8.
I'm gonna give it a 7 out of 9.
Why change the scale?
Well, just because
that's the exact same thing, isn't it?
Picard. I don't know. I don't know that. No, because we're lowering the fraction now, because now it's not a 9. It's a 9, not a 10. But anyway, and the only reason why. So I did have some notes. I wrote them down here. End of last season. The crew of Discovery went 1,000 years in the future.
the Federation is in shambles. It doesn't really exist anymore. Whatever. I like that concept. Like, yeah, where do we go from here? What is the future? I'm a little worried because now the writers of the show can't copy off of other things that have come before it. They've actually got to use their imaginations and write something new. So I'm curious as how that's going to look. But I kind of liked it. I liked the fact that I really liked what they built here. It was kind of like what's that movie with Harrison Ford? And it's in the future.
Blade Runner.
It's kind of a, there was like the city they went to was very Blade Runner-ish. You know, had like all this futuristic lights, holograms, all that stuff. I kind of liked all that.
I was thinking that was a little bit of a cop-out, but that was just me.
Yeah, but how much more future can you go? That's the other thing I'm thinking as if I was in the writer room. We've already done transporters and time travel and spaceships and all this stuff. Where else can you go now? So what's 1,000 years look like after that? I don't know. So you really kind of have to make it more of like a... Right. But it's my job too, because you know, if I'm going to complain about it, I better come up with some sort of solution. But I mean, at this point, you're going to have to make it more of this of a dystopian society, because everything, maybe we reached a peak of you know, what humanity can be and what civilization can be, and then it just kind of blows up in our faces, and we kind of return back to like a less civilized society, right? I think that's kind of what they're going for. So it kind of makes sense to me. However, I'm going to say, even though I like the episode, I'm going to give the dialogue writing a 3. Dialogue, okay, in my opinion, was awful. I could have wrote that.
I can see what you
Eric got. And I could have wrote that. It was just very, you know how they say treat your audience like they don't know what's going on, but not like they're stupid? Have you ever heard that before? I'm paraphrasing, but they were explaining things like I was a child. Like I have never seen Star Trek before. Like I'm blind. Like I can't see what's going on right in front of my very eyes.
Like we're not three seasons in or anything.
Right. And the dialogue was just awful. So I'm going to give that a 3?
Well, if you're going to give it a 3 based off of that, I would give it a 2.
Well, just dialogue.
Yeah, I'm saying just dialogue. I would give it a 2, the dialogue a 2. Because
I'll match your 2.
Because the reason why is because there were some things that the main character said that doesn't fit in with her character.
Yes.
And
I'm
going
to get to that next, actually. I think this is going to help explain this too. Yeah. Because the other note that I had in this, why is this character who's supposed to be this heroic, you know, badass character crying every 30 seconds?
Yeah.
And it's literally for no reason.
And she's had a hardcore background upbringing. I mean, a Vulcan upbringing. So.
Right. Oh, yeah. She's supposed to have like her emotions under control for the most part.
That everything.
She's half Vulcan, essentially.
Yeah.
And now she's crying every 30 seconds. And it's literally for like the most ridiculous stuff. Like this girl knows she's 1,000 years in the future. And she lands, like that's the first thing she does when she lands in the future. She asks Siri or whatever they have at that point, what's today? Which I asked my smart assistant. I never know what day it is, so I asked the same thing. So I related to that. And you know, the assistant says, hey, it's the year 3000, whatever. Been to the year 3000. So she's like, oh my gosh, I'm, you know, 1,000 years in the future or whatever. And then she meets this other guy. She's like, well, what about this? What about that? What about that? What about this? He goes, oh, that doesn't exist anymore. She goes, oh, that's impossible. How does it not? And then she starts crying. I'm like, if I knew I was 1,000, if you took me from where I am right now and put me 1,000 years in the future and I'm in the middle of nowhere and I go up to somebody and I go, I'm just trying to get back to America. How do I get back to America? And they're like, oh, America's been gone for 300 years. I'm going to be like, oh, what? It's been gone for like 1,000 years. It's a long time. Things happen, right? Everything was an impossible. Everything was an impossibility to her, but it's been 1,000 years. You know what I mean? Like a lot happens in 1,000 years and everything was just mind blowing. You know, you accept the fact that you're 1,000 years in the future, but you don't accept that nothing has changed in 1,000 years.
Right. Yeah.
And then you start bawling every time you find out something inconvenient has happened. And I'm like, why are you making this character like this? I don't know. That was, goes back to kind of the dialogue, and there's nothing against the actress. I love the actress, yes. But the way this whole thing was set up, it was just a little ridiculous. Yeah,
she could have, instead of like, you could show emotion without physically like showing it. Like she should have like just had the emotion within, you see in her eyes, whatever, you know, like, but not her bawling, because she wouldn't, she wouldn't do that. They wouldn't allow that.
Right.
And Vulcan, no.
And you have to think logically about stuff. You know, logically that this could happen. You're 1,000 years in the future. And then the score on these new Star Trek shows, that like, first off, it's so ridiculously loud. You can barely hear the dialogue half the time because it just blends in. Because
the score is not like subtle. It's very much dramatic, or, you know, has like a whole bunch of moving parts to it. Dynamic, I think, is what I'm looking for. And it distracts from the scene. You don't have to have music on every scene. It's okay to let, you know, a ship sound happen without any music, or, you know what I mean? Like, let's cool it on the music. That Jeff Russo, hump the brakes on the music. Anyway,
whatever.
Other than that, though, I'm really enjoying where this season's going.
It sounds like you don't like it, and then you're like, I like it. It's
no, I like the idea. I like where they're going with it. They learned a lot from the past two seasons where they were screwing stuff up, and they're trying to bring a little bit more hope. Basically, it's like it's kind of a David and Goliath story, right? It's the Federation, which was this huge, massive entity that helped keep everything in order and promote goodwill towards men and yada, yada, yada. It's now destroyed, and there's little fragments of it left in the universe. Uh-huh. And how do you put that back together and help bring order and stuff through all this chaos? That's what I like about it.
Yeah, I will say the best part of that episode one was when she didn't go to the Starfleet outpost and met with that guy. That their whole encounter and that whole scene, I did get emotional by it, I will say. Now that was good. But yeah, everything else was very like whatever.
No, I thought it was good. Anyway, any last words before we're way over time here, but I thought we had a lot of action packed stuff today. You guys heard about my scooter ride, my peaceful scooter ride. We got to check in with Julie. We had Jonathan Del Arco, which I thought, Eric, you asked some great questions.
Oh, thank you.
And then you found out that we gave Star Trek Discovery a 7 out of 9. Anything to add, Clark?
No, I think that pretty much wraps it up.
And of course, he had nothing to add to the show. I mean, oh my gosh, what are we doing with this Clark guy?
I don't know. He knows his women in that show. You'd think he would watch it to get some sort of like action in his life, you know, visually, but I guess not.
Well, that's our show. We'll see you next week.
This is MZ Now, online at mznow.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MZNow.